right, gang, let's gather on back in here. Got a lot to do, so we're going to get going. Today what we're doing, for those of you who don't know, 4 years ago or so, we sent a team of people down to La Crosse, and they planted a church down there called Coulee Rock Community Church, and 20-some adults and a whole bunch of kids packed up, moved down to La Crosse, started a church there. And that's a very exciting thing for us at Cedar Creek, very exciting thing for them. Well, today what we're doing is kind of a continuation of that, and one of our pastors, Dave Lenander, who's been here for many, many years, is moving down. He and his wife, Sandy, are moving down to La Crosse to help pastor that church plant down there. And things are going really, really well down there, and it's exciting, and we just this is a good step for Coulee Rock. So what we're doing today is just kind of saying goodbye to Dave and Sandy in some ways, and so that's what we're going to do here. So I'm going to turn it over to Dave here. Oh, by the way, the fire that you see here, this is in honor of Dave. He's been doing something called a fireside chat with a bunch of guys at his home for a long time, and he likes this kind of thing. So if you watch, well, I won't even, don't watch that. Just watch Dave when he comes up. So go ahead, Dave.
Yes. Well, thanks, Rob. Yeah, this is really a kind of a challenge to share. You know, it's really not my last Sunday. You know, we'll be around. Sandy and I will be back and forth. And one of the things I'm excited about is we continue our relationship in a sister, daughter type church relationship with Coulee Rock. And I think in the future we will even, you know, draw closer. So we'll be having lots of interactions. But in one sense, we're kind of winding down in our ministry here in Eau Claire. And just to give you perspective, Sandy and I moved to Eau Claire in 1979. That was 35 years ago. And we got involved at the early stages of Cedar Creek Church. It had been started in 1974, so we came 5 years after. And so I'd like to give you a little perspective in the history today. One of the things I just like to share is, you know, I know after the Super Bowl Sunday when Pastor Doug resigned at Coulee Rock, it was a very sudden thing, and it was sad. But the last 3 months, we were just kind of thrown into and been driving down to La Crosse to teach down there. So it was kind of like a sudden withdrawal from Cedar Creek. And I just, you know, as I've talked to people, I felt bad because it's kind of like I just disappeared. You know, after 35 years, you just disappear. And it was so sudden that it's been hard. And I just want to share that that's not been my heart. I'm not just chasing some adventure, but that it's been very difficult, very emotional for us, just seeing those numbers of years of relationships that are, you know, that I will be missing. And so, but yet at the same time, we've really seen God direct and lead us, and we're encouraged by God's direction for our lives and also for the church here. You know, one of the things that people have said to us, we went to Berlin, Germany a few years ago for 3 years to help out a church there. You know, it was really good for us as a church to send us there. But people have been amazed that we would do that. We'd pack up our stuff, take 4 suitcases, and live in Berlin. And the same, we've been having people say, I'm amazed that you're selling your house and you're moving. You know, now you're over 60 years old. It's not easy. We've got all kinds of stuff, and that makes it difficult. But one of the things that stands out to me is that God gave us the command, the Great Commission, and that's one of our core values at Cedar Creek, is that we are to go into all the world, and that going means to go out. And we've had opportunity to go to Latin America for short-term missions teams, to Germany for a long-term missions opportunity, and now to Coulee Rock. And we just feel like it's not for us to be choosing the easy route. And this is not the easy route, but it's the right route. It's the route that God's called us to. And that's where the place of blessing is. When you're doing God's will, God brings about the best result. I've always learned that. I've learned that over the years when I stepped out and not taken the easy route, but the route that God's led, it provides, and he gives his blessing. And so we just need to be courageous and follow the Lord's leading. Now, again, I didn't quite know how to address you today. What should I do? It's a challenging situation. I don't want to get all emotional, but I did in the first service. Fortunately, Rob gave a little introduction here. You know, when I look out in the audience, I see faces that I've never met before. Probably in the last 3 months, who come to Cedar Creek. And I've seen others that I've been together with for over 30 years. And every person has a story in a relationship, and it's hard. It's hard to leave those. But it also brings tremendous flood of memories and wonder at just God's work in our life and in your lives. And so what I want to do today is, just as I was preparing this week, I went and I thought about the scriptures, and I went into Deuteronomy. And the reason why I did that is because Deuteronomy is an interesting book. It's where Moses had brought the people out of Egypt and through the desert for 40 years, and now they are right on the verge of going into the land, the promised land. And what he did was he recounted all the great deeds of the Lord. Whole book of Deuteronomy is him reflecting back, giving warning, giving instruction to the people. And so I thought, oh, I can learn from this. And so I read it this week, and I just thought it was good, and I thought that I should just glean a few of those instructions and warnings for the people to give you on kind of my send-off time. And just real briefly, some of the things I gleaned, I think there was eight of them here. First of all, is that he told the people to listen carefully to his words. Be very careful to hear my words. And his words were the words of God. And God used those and wrote them down in the scriptures. They were inspired words. And I just want to encourage you is listen to the word of God. Can't get away from that book. We just can't get away from that book. It's the word of God, and we need to cling to it. And carefully understand it, listen to it. Then he told him not to forget the Lord. Now, you would think, well, that's kind of weird. He's telling God's people not to forget the Lord. But, gosh, when you look at the history of God's people and you look at your own heart, you realize it's really easy to forget God. Really easy to get involved, heavily involved in life and the good things that God provides and forget the one who provided them. And so he warns the people, don't forget the Lord. Don't get busy doing things and programs and activities, and you forget me. It's really about a relationship with him. Paul gave the same instruction to Timothy. He said, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. And so we just got to be reminded, continue, let's not forget the Lord. And then another exhortation he had was to pass on that faith, pass on the faith in God to the next generation, to your children. And I think that's a great, important instruction for us as a church as well. It's easy to just get comfortable in church and then move on. You see churches all the time. They were at one time on fire for God 100 years ago, and now they're dying. Everyone in the church is old and gray, and there's no young people. And it's important, and over the years we've tried to do that, is to stay young and to continue to reach out, to be concerned about those kids over on the other wall there, and to pass on the faith in Jesus Christ. We've got to stay young and remember to pass on to the next generation faith in God. Then he warned them not to be seduced by the world. He said there's all kinds of influences out there in the world that are unhealthy, and they're attractive. And he warned them, don't be seduced by the things of this world. And, you know, we have televisions and ads and other inputs constantly in our society. We're such a media-sized society. And it's just so easy to get distracted from what's really important and give yourself to living like everyone else. God has given us the church to be a shelter. Rob taught on that. A shelter from this world and have positive peer pressure. The world is a negative peer pressure. And there's just a warning there as to go into God's Word and see God's people and help each other. Help each other stay true to the Lord. Then he exhorted them to be strong and courageous. You know, we have enemies. As God's people, we're trying to get the Word of God out. And there's enemies of God who do not want the kingdom of God to advance. And we're seeing even a strong push in that today. And there's opposition to the gospel going out. There's opposition to following the Word of God. And so you and I need to be strong and courageous and not afraid to stand on the truth and to speak the truth and to speak the gospel, regardless of what other people in this world are saying or doing. So he told them to be strong and courageous. I think that's a great reminder as well for us as God's people. Be courageous. We have God. We are serving. We're representing the eternal God. And then the last thing is he said, remember the deeds of the Lord. Remember what God has done. And this is very important as we look back on our lives to see God active in us personally and to see God, how he's been active and how God has worked and done miracles in us as a group. And so then what Moses did was he went back and he recounted for the people the previous 40 years and how God brought them out of Egypt. And it was the most powerful nation on earth. And he brought them out with a powerful hand. And then he divided the waters. And you know the Ten Commandments was on. And walking through the sea. And then the water swallowing up the army of Egypt. He recounted because he says, look back and reflect on the great things God has done for you. Don't miss that. Don't lose that. And you know, when I see that and I hear that, it's an encouraging reminder to me to look back in history, the history of Cedar Creek, and to see God's faithfulness and to see God's many miracles that he's done on our behalf as a church. And I've seen him very powerful and seen him do amazing things. And so what I'd like to do now is just briefly go over the history of Cedar Creek. Now that, again, I got really long-winded. I was told I got to cut it down. You know, when you get older, you reminisce. So I reminisce out loud. And many of you, for many of you, you know, so a lot of you, you weren't born, you know? And so you don't know the great deeds that God has done on behalf of this congregation, this church. And so I just like to recount some of the things that have happened. And I think it's a wonderful story, and it really gives me hope and encouragement about the future, because the same God that has worked in the past is the same God that is here today, same God that will be moving forward in the future of both Cedar Creek and Coulee Rock. So we can take great encouragement from it. Now this church was, I think it's kind of ironic, this church was started about 40 years ago, in the summer of 1974. And so we have about 40 years of history to recount. And it was started by some college students, just young college students that were passionate about God and loved his word. And they moved up from Madison and started meeting on the college campus and reaching out on the college campus. They had a Friday night Bible study every week. And then they purchased an old house. It was a historic house on 904 Graham in the community as a place to meet. And the guys, I think, first of all, the gals lived there. And they paid the rent. And so that helped pay for the house. And then the church would meet on Sunday morning in the living room. And when Sandy and I came in 1979, they were still meeting in the living room of 904 Graham. And it was interesting because, you know, we had home groups, which were like small groups, but they were a mixture of people, and had a service that was 2.5 hours long. You guys should be really thankful for our service. We would have to spread out a blanket for our kids to sit on, and Sandy would train them during the week of blanket time so they could sit still for the service. It was quite a challenge, but it was good training for our kids. And, you know, there's only one person today that's still in the church from that original group that came up from Madison. That's Nancy Anderson. So you see her, she's one of the founding members of the church. And Mark and Nancy have been very influential over the years, and we really thank them for that faithfulness. You know, it's interesting. They try lots of things in the early days just to reach out and bring the gospel out to people in the community. I know they built a float, and they had that in the Sawdust City days. Now there's no more Sawdust City days. You guys at Cooley Rock did a float too, didn't you? In the Oktoberfest? Yeah, isn't that interesting? Just a couple years ago, they did that when they started out in La Crosse. And then they had a booth at the Northern Wisconsin Fair. Tried things that worked, things that didn't work. Mark Bone, you'll have to ask him. He's coming to teach at the marriage retreat next weekend. He's probably, he wants us to be buried, but we tried a thing called going bananas on campus. And they had to go over to Minneapolis, and they rented a gorilla suit. And Mark Bowen put it on, and he rode a unicycle around campus, handed out flyers. And it was a crazy idea. We had banana eating contests and other things just to try things to reach out with the gospel. And, you know, and some things worked well and some things didn't. You know, we did open-air preaching on the campus. That was threatening. We did open-air preaching down on Water Street. I remember many Friday nights going out and handing out tracts to people on Water Street, students on Water Street. I would take my little son along with me. And it's interesting, I asked him later, what are some of the things that really influenced you? And he remembers that. He says, I think he was about 7. He would go down and help me hand out tracts. And he says, yeah, I remember going down there and these guys would be going off in the corner throwing up. A great thing for a little kid to see. But you know what? It impacted him such that he is involved in the gospel today and pastor of one of our churches in our association. And it was amazing how God takes things that we do and uses and multiplies them. Well, then we outgrew the living room of 904, and we went downtown and met at a movie theater. Now there's a church in town that meets at a movie theater, and they bought it. We did that early on in the days, and then it was not the best environment, so we then moved over to a funeral home. Now, you ever heard of a church meeting in a funeral home? It's called Stokes Chapel. And it was right there where the footbridge goes across and hits First Avenue. The building's gone now. But it had a nice facility. It was carpeted and nice. And we met there for a number of years. And it met the needs of the church. And so we just tried different things. Didn't have a lot of money at the time and tried that. Well, about that time, then we traded the 904 building for 1108 Second Avenue. So we had a little more room, and we were able to get 110 chairs in the meeting area down there. It's an older church building, and that served us for many years. And about that time, then our church association decided to start 50 churches. And so this was a big upheaval. It was called I-85. And so then they sent out teams of pairs of guys, deacon pairs, all over 50 different cities in the country. But part of that was the guys that appointed me as a pastor left to start another church. And that started my difficult training. I had been appointed a few years before. I was working a full-time job, and I was the only one left here at Cedar Creek. And I was just trying to learn how to pastor a church. And here I was. I had 3 little kids, full-time job, and now I was the only pastor of the church. There was about 30, 35 of us that were meeting, and that was very difficult, hardest year of my life. And I was about ready to throw in the towel a number of times at that point. But God was faithful. God was faithful. And, you know, the challenging situations, and learned from my struggles and the difficulties and a number of you stuck with us. And I look out at the faithfulness of different individuals that hung in there with us. Well, then in 1988, Rob had become a Christian back when we were meeting at Stokes on the campus. And Rob went down to Madison at one of the teams down there. And they had about 25 or 30 that were meeting with them, but wasn't strong. And so then many of them came to Minneapolis over to Evergreen, and then Rob and Sue landed back in Eau Claire here. And that was very valuable because Rob and I just seemed to hit it off in our vision and where we were going. And so he had time. He was working full-time as a lawyer. And I would go over to his office, and we would take time just talking about the church and planning and strategizing. And it was very helpful. And then he organized a music team. So we made some changes. We shortened up the service, and we added drums, and just got a music team, contemporary music team going for the worship. And that was very helpful and instrumental in just helping the church to grow. You know, we want to reach people, but sometimes the structure that you have is kind of counterproductive to helping people grow in Christ and being built up and attracting new ones to the church. And so we are just asking, how do we grow the church? How do we reach people? And so we tried things, different things, made some improvements. We changed the building, raised some money to improve our facility. We added a parking lot, and all those things we were just doing. And you know, through that, we had our first capital campaigns. I think we raised $25,000. And then we did another one, raised $35,000. And God was just training us and equipping us to take larger steps along the way, steps of faith. We tried adding a second service. That didn't work out. We had Christmas programs and Christmas quizzes over at the mall where we, how many remember London Square Mall? That was before Oakwood, and it was a mall and Christmas. We set up a table there and had a Christmas quiz where we asked 10 questions about the Christmas story and gave out candy bars if you got 8 right. It was a tough quiz, too. I don't know if it was because we were cheap or what, but we tried things, you know, and we had this Christmas program, and we were fighting with that building down there. We had this huge, it was an old fuel oil furnace, had a 1,000-gallon tank in there, and we were always running out of fuel oil because we just didn't have enough money to keep it heated. And when it got down low, it'd suck in all the sludge from the bottom of the tank, and it would quit. And so that would usually happen on Saturday night before the service. And one time, it was before the Christmas program, I was going, and I lived fairly close, and I walked by, and I was just going to walk around the neighborhood and pray. While I was walking by the building, I wasn't going to go in, and I heard this noise. It sounded like Niagara Falls. And so I thought, I better go in and check this out. So I went into the building, went into the kitchen, and here out of the ceiling was water was gushing out of the pipes. The furnace had quit, and the pipes had frozen, and the water was eroding the ceiling away, and there was at least a foot of water in the kitchen, and it's 2.5 hours to go tell a Christmas program. So I called a few people, and they came down with their shop vacs and slurped up the water, and we were ready to go. 10 o'clock. You know, I had to laugh when Lance had a deal with a couple weeks ago. There was a natural gas leak at the Cooley Rock building. And I was driving back from vacation, and he calls up. We got XL Energy in here. and they got to evacuate the building. And I just kind of laughed, said, oh, okay, Lance, welcome to battling buildings here to organize God's people. But lots of things like that. But God was faithful, and he was continuing to work. And then over the years, we started to grow, and we outgrew that building. And so we started to look around for a bigger space and a place in a more convenient, exposed area in the community. And that's when Rob and I drove around. We saw this building here. It was about 1,000 feet that way. It was a waterbed store, and we stopped in and said, what's going on. We knew that something was going on, and the DOT had bought it to tear it down for the highway. And we said, oh, okay. I knew some people at the DOT, and so I called them up and said, well, you know, when are you going to tear it down? And they said, in 4 years. And I said, well, what would it be like, you know, leasing it? And so we figured we got it for about a quarter of the lease of kind of the fair market lease because they were going to tear it down. And we sold our old building downtown, and we took some of the equity, most of it, and put in $60,000 of improvements to this building, knowing it was going to be torn down in 4 years. It was a step, sounds crazy, it was a step of faith and risk to grow the kingdom of God. And it's amazing because it worked out, because after 3 years, we started thinking, okay, now we got to go in a year. What are we going to do? And we started thinking about, well, what if we bought this building and moved it? It's kind of a crazy idea, but we worked it out, and God opened up an opportunity miraculously. If I could tell you the story of how this parcel opened up, it was the hand of God, and God raised up money to do it, and a bigger fundraiser. And so he was training us along the way for the next steps of faith, and cut this building in half, moved it over here, and it's been a great facility for us. We added a second service. Again, just along the way, these were steps we were taking of faith to try to build the kingdom of God. And God has been faithful to us. Some things work, some things haven't. Then Rob started The Edge, and we wanted to stay young and get back an influence on campus. And that was a great step of faith that's paid tremendous dividends in people's lives over the last number of years. After that, then Sandy and I were asked to go to Berlin, Germany. And so we made a commitment to do that for 2 years and to work with the church there. And I think that was very instrumental in just Cedar Creek growing, is because when we stepped out, people had to step in. And so we noticed over those years just the broadening of the base of ministry. So people stepped into positions of ministry across the church, and it provided a structure for future growth and more of a broad-based structure for the growth of Cedar Creek here. And then, as was mentioned a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, we started planning for our biggest step of faith, and that was to plant Cooley Rock. And we wanted to invest and start another church in another city. And so a team of 22 adults and 15 kids chose to go down, move down, relocate to La Crosse, and start the church down there. We raised over $350,000. So you can see we 10 times what we had a few years before. God was giving us bigger steps, bigger stretches of faith to move forward. And again, for the purpose of reaching out, we knew we had limitations even here in our facility. And I just want to share with you, last week, it's very encouraging. In the midst of all this upheaval, Cedar Creek had 343 people at our service last week. That was by far the largest we've ever had. A couple times we had close, just went over 300. But that was by far the largest attendance. And Cooley Rock had 180, which was their second largest next to Christmas this past year. And so when you had 523 people that are being influenced and growing in Christ and hearing the gospel, and when you look back in history, it's amazing to see what God has done in being faithful and using us as we've stepped out in faith. And so what I'd like to do just is, in closing off my portion, is to just share a few observations that I've seen over the years that we need to keep in mind. And first of all is just the greatness of God. God is great, and he's great not just in theory, but he's great in his actions. And we can trust him, and we can step out in faith and believe him, and he will come through, because that's how he gets glory. He gets glory in this world as he does things on behalf of his people. And we've seen that over and over again over the years here at Cedar Creek. We need to remain true to his word. And I'm really proud of that over the last 35 years that at Cedar Creek we've stayed true to the word of God. And you know that the inerrancy of the scriptures and the integrity of the scriptures is under assault in many churches, and churches have given way. And we have not. And I'm proud of that. We've clung to the word. And as Moses said, be careful how you listen to his word. Carefully handle the word of God. I mentioned before, stay young. We need to stay young and keep reaching those young people for Christ. And then the fourth observation is that as I told some of these stories, there's three things that stood out to me is in each of those cases when we've taken a step and we've really seen God grow us, is it's because we took a faith risk. We stepped on, did something that was crazy, and yet God was there, and he upheld us. And you know, it says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We don't take steps of faith, and in faith, there's always a risk. But when you take steps of faith, it honors him and it pleases his heart. And so I just encourage you guys at Cedar Creek to continue to take steps of faith, not get comfortable. So easy to get comfortable and to get complacent. And so the second thing is to continue to take initiatives. You know, take initiatives, work hard, try the next things. Because, you know, if you will get what you've always got if you do what you've always done. It's kind of the saying. You do what you've always done, you get what you've always got. And so to be stretched, we need to take steps. We need to take initiative. And you know, when you have income coming in and the budget's met, you kind of get complacent, you kind of get comfortable. And that's what's happened to many, many churches over the years, is they get complacent and comfortable and they start losing the edge. And we don't want to lose the edge. We want to continue to move forward with the kingdom of God. And then the third thing is, it takes sacrifice. We've always grown and been built up when we've sacrificed. And I know many of you over the years have sacrificed. It's sacrifice of time and energy and serving, of money and giving of our finances, and in just our abilities and our resources and our time. And it takes sacrifice, and God blesses that when we do it. So I hope that this will give you encouragement. I have nothing but excitement for the future of Cedar Creek. And I believe that this move will benefit all of you here. And you'll continue to grow. And then I am also excited about Coulee Rock and God establishing and planting that church and taking our gifts and working alongside Lance and Chrissy to help lead and guide that church to the next steps that God wants to take them. So again, I will miss all of you greatly. You don't get wonderful relationships over 35 years and just leave them lightly. And I'm going to miss you, but again, we're not going too far away. So God bless you. Thanks. Lance, come on up.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, quite a story. I've been a part of it since 2001, so I've been part of the last little bit. But Dave and Rob had asked me to share a little bit about Coulee Rock, and Dave did share some of the specifics, but just as he mentioned, you know, this kind of started back 2007, 2008, really started, the pastor started praying about it, and by about 2009, 2010, we were physically starting to move to La Crosse itself, 22 adults, 15 kids, that was a growing number of kids. We raised $350,000 plus from the people here in this room, and so that's a contribution that you all gave stepping out, as Dave was talking about, stepping out in faith. And you know, we got down there. We actually intended on renting a facility, maybe not quite this large, but something of this nature. And that's what we started looking for. We looked pretty hard for quite a while and found out that things were kind of a little more pricey than we had hoped. But a God story that just even for us, Coulee Rock, we've only been around for a few years. You know, we had a individual from Cedar Creek here that wanted to help us get established, and he actually put the down payment on a building. That's been really helpful. 140 people, 180 people every week. Last week, you know, that's he's used a facility. He's used all the people to help. There's been multiple salvations since we've started. We have small groups that are bursting, like kind of like I've heard that your guys' kids' rooms are bursting. We have small groups in that situation. We also have our building is it's full, and that's just a really neat thing to that's happened. One just quick note, I will mention that Dave started off by saying, or mentioned that they had 2.5-hour services. They slimmed those down. We are down to 1-hour service, so just something we've tried to incorporate. But I wanted to kind of just express that I really do see this as an opportunity for, well, Dave and I to team up as co-pastors, but also an opportunity for you all to step up and maybe in areas that you haven't before, or maybe just want to just serve harder. And God will really bless those efforts. And so I'd encourage you to consider that. Honestly, I see Dave coming down to La Crosse, as Dave and Sandy, is a divine opportunity. I'm very thankful. His rough year when he was a pastor and had 3 little kids and working a full-time job, that's me right now. And so I'm really thankful for him and Sandy. And so I guess the last thing I just wanted to mention is that, you know, Cedar Creek, we've always seen you guys as a ascending mother church, and that will never change. And this is just another chapter in how you guys are sending Dave and Sandy. So with that, Rob is going to share a few more things about moving ahead. So
I did a wedding once several years ago, and there were 3 pastors who spoke. And this was in July, very small church out in the country, no air conditioning. And the first pastor got up and spoke for 15, 20, 25 minutes. Second pastor got up and spoke, and as he was going on and on and on, I was watching people just wilt in their chairs and die in the heat. And I was the 3rd pastor, and I briefly thought about not saying anything. But I didn't take that advice, and I got up and I spoke for 20, 25 minutes, and people just died. And I'm not going to make that mistake today. I'm going to be very, very brief here. But I do want to just share one quick thought, and then get Dave and Sandy up here, just so we can pray for them. You know, I've been reading through the Old Testament, some of the minor prophets, and in the book of Haggai, it's a little short book in the Old Testament, and it's a time in Israel's history which is very much a time of transition. They had been one thing, and then they'd been taken away out of their own land 70 years as slaves, and now they're coming back into the land, and so it's very much a time of transition. Lots and lots of things are changing. But God says something to them here that I think really relates to us here at Cedar Creek. As Dave and Sandy are heading down to be with Lance and so many of the people down in La Crosse to really help God build that up, and as men and women are being influenced, as they head down there, a lot of us aren't. And this is for us here. This is in Haggai chapter 2. Says this: "Be strong, all you people still left in the land, and now get to work, for I am with you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt, so do not be afraid. Be strong and do the work." You know, Dave was sharing those stories about how all of the changes that have come up, and it occurred to me as I was thinking, or as I was listening back there, when Dave started pastoring, there were about 30, 35 people in the church. Well, that's about how many we sent down to Coulee Rock, and look around. Now there's 300 and some still here, and so many down there. And that's the point to this. You know, when we talk about numbers and all the things God has done, God's greatest work is not in buildings. God's greatest work is not in programs. It's in souls. It's in men and women. You look around. There are faces and names. God knows you. God knows the people in La Crosse, and his heart is to bring people into a relationship with him and to help those people grow in a relationship with him. And the great work that God has done here, and the great work that God is doing in Coulee Rock, and the great work that we're looking forward to him doing in the future, is to see men and women come into a relationship with God, to grow in that relationship with God. And here at Cedar Creek, that's still what God is going to do. We're taking another crazy faith venture here. And we're going to try something different, and we're going to watch and see what God does. You know, when we had 340 people last week, we had 80 kids over there. 80 kids? You are so glad you were here and not over there. But that's a beautiful, beautiful thing to have 80 kids, except we're a little bit crowded. So we're thinking about, well, what are we going to do, God? What's the next crazy thing you want us to do here at Cedar Creek? So those of you who are still in the land, hey, God's promises are still the same. Nothing's changing. We go forward together. So what I'd like to do is have Dave and Sandy and Lance and Chrissy come up here, too. I'm going to pray for these guys. And as they come up, I would just say this as well, that none of this is ever organizational. It's always relational. Now I'm going to get emotional because I've taken all those crazy steps with Dave over the years, and he and I have been serving together for I think, well, 1988. I came back from Madison, and so what's that? 26 years, longer than I've been married. I've been yeah. And now you're leaving me. And it's happened so quickly, I will admit that I haven't, it hasn't come home to me yet, and it's starting to, and I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss all the years together. And Lance and Chrissy, I watched these two come to know the Lord back in college, and I watch them fall in love with each other, and I married them, and it's just weddings all over here, and so the point to this is we understand, guys, this is never about buildings or organizations or meetings. It's about relationships, relationship with God, relationships with each other. And so as we send these guys off, it really is with a full but heavy heart. You know, we're excited about what God is doing. We're excited how God leads us, but we know that sometimes there's a cost, and that's part of this. So I would just like to pray for these guys. So just join me in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much that as we look back over the years, we see the amazing things that you've done, Lord. But the most amazing thing you've ever done for any of us is you've given us relationships with each other and with you. And we are so grateful and so thankful. And God, as we take a new step in our relationships, and as things change here at Cedar Creek and things change at Coulee Rock, Lord, we know and we acknowledge that there's a sacrifice that goes into this. But Lord, we willingly make it so that you can get honor and so that men and women can believe in you and grow in you, Father. And we're just so grateful that we can do that. We just pray that you would continue to bless. We know that you will. You said that there in that promise in Haggai. You're still here, and you're still there, and you're going to keep doing all the 40 years that Dave talked about. We got another 40 in front of us, and we're looking forward to that. So bless and use this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys.